السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له، وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Before beginning this hadith, I would like to mention two points, or rather one point concerning two matters, which is that we are now in a time where the zeal, the eagerness, the desire for practice upon deen and progress upon in deen is decreasing. In general, you will see that whatever your age is, you will see that in the last few years, in the last 5 years, 10 years, and further back as well, the desire for deen is steadily decreasing. The desire for progress, the desire for deen and practice at all is steadily decreasing. The number of people who want to practice upon deen is decreasing. And out of those who, to different levels or another, are practicing upon deen, within them, the desire for progress in practice is also decreasing. What does that mean? Those of us who are practicing, majority of us, when we look at our lives, we will see that I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable where I am means whatever is supposed to be in my life, and it is, alhamdulillah, that pleases me a lot. But whatever isn't in my life, more often than not, we're not too bothered about it. Like they say, we've shoved it under the carpet. The mess is there. If you have a room and the crumbs are there, the crumbs of food are there. So the real solution is that you remove the crumbs. You remove the problem. The real solution is not that you shove the crumbs under the mat, under the rug. That hides the solution. That hides the problem. But the problem doesn't disappear. So when, because of that problem, some mice, some other animal enters the home, then the problem will be discovered again. Then the consequences of the problem will be realized. So there are those of us who have no desire to practice upon deen, and out of those who have a desire to practice upon deen or some part of deen, we never think about progressing in deen. Whatever isn't in our life, push under the carpet. Pretend it doesn't matter. And this, I'm addressing myself first, and then we should look at all of our lives. And pretend it doesn't matter, pretend I don't need to practice upon it. Well, just like Whatever you shove under, whatever we put under the rug, sooner or later the problem is caused because of it. Similarly, from a deen point of view, a person pretends this part of deen doesn't matter. This, and no one says it. But I am talking about our actions, how we behave. Then it may not matter until the Day of Judgment. But on the Day of Judgment, it will definitely matter. Regarding the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when we will receive our books of deeds, then people will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. When they first look at the book of deeds, they will be shocked and they will be astonished. Why will they be shocked and astonished? They will see that every single thing that they carried out, good or bad, but minute or major, it's written in there. So when they see that record, they will be shocked that, you know, what is this book that every single thing is recorded in here? So in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is not a differentiation that some things will not be accounted for and some things will be accounted for. No. And for a person to make sure that he carries on practicing upon deen, maintaining the desire to practice upon deen, and as well as that, progressing in deen, he needs two things. He needs two things. The first thing he needs to do is he needs to connect with someone, something that keeps reminding about deen. This could be anything. Maybe a talk of some alim. Maybe a person has a practice of going out for tabligh jamaat 2-3 days. Maybe a person has a practice of going to some monthly program somewhere. He has a practice of sitting in the ta'alim in the masjid, or he has a practice of doing ta'alim at home. But you and I need something that keeps reminding us. Otherwise, slowly, slowly, we drift and we decline. And you will see that. I have seen that in my life, and we will all have seen that. And the second thing we need is we need some way of the first thing, if we do that, if we keep going to some place, somewhere, some program, some course, whatever the word is, whatever the heading is, whether the heading is a course, whether the heading is a further education, sanatain, whatever the heading is. But you and I need something where we keep being reminded, so that our desire to practice upon deen stays alive. If you have a desire to deen, this is a fire burning within us. And a fire doesn't just carry on burning if you leave it. No, no. If you leave a fire there, slowly, slowly, slowly gets the flame gets smaller and smaller, and it burns out. If you want to keep the fire burning, you have to keep putting fuel. It is the same thing here. If you want to keep that fire of religious worry burning, we have to keep putting fuel on it. And this, what is the second thing we need? The second thing we need, which is for progress in our deen, is that we need to have some way to increase our knowledge of deen. Because progress in deen doesn't happen without increasing our knowledge of deen. Progress in deen is impossible without increase in knowledge of deen. So, the more your knowledge increases, the more your progress in deen will increase. So, our second need is to go somewhere, to attach ourselves to someone or some cause or whatever, where our knowledge keeps being increased. So, these are two things which I first wish to mention before discussing this hadith. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that at-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala. At-ta'ib, the one who repents from a sin. Kaman la dhanbala is like the one who has no sin. Now, to understand this hadith, we first need to understand something else, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do everything that is compulsory, and to stay away from everything that he has forbidden. So everything compulsory is farad and wajib. And sunnah muakkada, when a person doesn't have an excuse, doesn't have a reason. And Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to carry it out. These are the things that are must. And must means that if we don't do it, then we will be regarded as blameworthy in the eyes of Allah. After that come sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab, nafal. These are the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a lot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He loves them a lot, if you leave them out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold you blameworthy. So the first category, it is there very beneficial to do. And if you don't do them, you are damaging yourself. You are damaging your deen. You are blameworthy. And the second category is also very beneficial. But if you don't do them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you to task. Now in the first category, if we carry them out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased. If we don't carry them out, then after missing them out, for example, so we'll take the example of salah. Very simple example. Allah Ta'ala, we are talking about compulsory salah here. Nafal salah, the ishraq salah, tahajjud salah. Very, very beneficial. But if you don't carry it out, if you don't perform ishraq salah your entire life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not become angry. Yes, it is very virtuous. In some hadith, it is mentioned that two rakats of ishraq salah. So ishraq salah is performed about 10-15 minutes after sunrise. So in the hadith, it is mentioned that two rakats of ishraq salah equal the reward of one hajj and umrah. So it is very beneficial. But if you leave it out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become angry. But those things, compulsory salah, zuhr salah, fajr salah, you leave it out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry. Now there is another command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to repent. So you have becoming overcome with our nafs and desires, miss one command of Allah. Now another command of Allah ta'ala comes, which is repent. And what does repent mean? We hear this word a lot, tawbah, repent. But this is a concept which has a definition in Sharia. And this definition is very important to understand. Because if you don't do tawbah according to this definition, then your repentance may not be accepted. Because that repentance is accepted which fits the definition of repentance in the eyes of Allah. What is repentance in the eyes of Allah? Very, very simple. It has 3 points. And sometimes a fourth point as well. The first point is that if a person is involved in the sin, at that moment in time he stops it. For example, a person is watching a film. So he's breaking the command of Allah. He has a realization while he's watching the film that I'm doing something wrong. And he wants to repent. Now the first part of repent is that he stops that sin. He doesn't think, let me finish this one. This last one I will finish. That is not repentance. This last time I will finish and then I will stop. No, he stops at that time. The second point is that he feels remorseful. He feels remorseful. If he feels naturally remorseful, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, he makes himself feel remorseful. He thinks to himself that I am breaking the command of Allah Ta'ala. I am damaging my akhirah. I am deliberately taking myself off the path to Jannah and putting myself on the path to Jahannam. How foolish can I be? This is the second thing he does. He feels remorseful. And the third thing he does, which is extremely important, if not the most important thing, is that he makes an intention that I'm not going to do it again. Now listen to this sentence very carefully. He makes an intention that I'm not going to do it again. We're not saying that he never ever does it again. No, no. He makes an intention I'm not going to do it again. If a person does these three things, then his tawbah is accepted in the eyes of Allah. And if when his tawbah is accepted in the eyes of Allah, then the hadith which we have mentioned here applies to him. What does this hadith mean? At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala. The one who repents from a sin is like the one who never ever did the sin in the first place. So that means if there are two people, there is Zayd and there is Khalid. Khalid hasn't carried out the sin of watching a film. Zayd, he falls prey to his desires, to shaitan, to the encouragement of some friend of his. And he ends up watching a film. In the middle of the film or after the film, He realizes that I've carried out the disobedience of Allah. So he stops doing it if he hasn't stopped already. He feels remorseful and he makes an intention that I'm not going to do it again. Now, after Zayd does these three things, in the eyes of Allah, Zayd is the exact same as Khalid who has never carried out the sin. That means on the Day of Judgment, that there will be no sign of that sin in his book of records. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even mention that sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even mention that you did that sin, but I forgave it because you repented. And from the ahadith, we understand that whenever a person commits a sin, then there are a number of witnesses. There are a number of witnesses, all of which record the sin, which remember the sin, and all of them will speak against a person on the Day of Judgment. What is the first of them is the angels which are on one's shoulders. They are the first witness. The second witness is the earth which a person carries out the sin on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth will shake, meaning on the Day of Judgment, close to the Day of Judgment, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth will take out whatever was inside it, meaning the people will come out of it. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And the people will say, what is the earth doing? Why will they say this? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. That day, the earth will relate its information. What information does the earth have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a memory inside the earth. And this memory records whatever is done on top of the earth is done on top of it. Whatever action any person has carried out on top of any piece of land, that piece of land remembers it. And on the Day of Judgment, that piece of land will be brought against a person as a witness that you carried out this sin. And the final witness, some ulama have actually said that this, as well as the piece of land, every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may well and often will be brought against a person on the Day of Judgment. Meaning if a person is in a room by himself carrying out the disobedience of Allah, it may well be on the Day of Judgment the four walls that are surrounding him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them on the Day of Judgment to speak against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that power. If he has the power to make the earth speak, why doesn't he have the power to make the walls speak as well? That same door which he locks, that same door Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may well bring it to speak against him on the Day of Judgment. And the final witness will be a person's own limbs. If a person carried out something wrong with his hand, with his eyes, on the Day of Judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them speak against him as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them speak. And after they speak against a person, the eyes will speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give anything the power to speak. The eyes will speak that I carried out so and so sin. And after the sin is rubber stamped, then the person will say to his own, he will speak to his own eyes or his own hands, and he will say that لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Why are you bearing witness against us? You know, you are taking yourself and the rest of the body into Jahannam. And the eyes or the body part which spoke against the rest of the body will say, قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah who can make anything and everything speak made us speak. What could we do? And then an announcement will be made from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ أَن يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْعُكُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُكُمْ. That when you carried out sin in the world, when you disobeyed me in the world, then you didn't expect that your eyes, your ears, your own skin, your own limbs would bear witness against you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْلَمُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew all of this. But all of this is if a person carries out a sin and he doesn't repent. If a person repents in the true manner, he stops doing the sin if he is carrying it out. He repents, he feels remorseful, and he makes an intention not to do it again. Then every single witness who we have just mentioned, the angels, the earth, his own body parts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases it from their memory. So effectively, no one except him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that he has done that sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows nothing can be erased from Allah's memory, from the knowledge of Allah. But although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, he will not mention it on the day of judgment at all. So on the day of judgment, a person will not even feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that sin which I committed, which I repented. This is if a person carries out the repentance properly. Let us take it a step further. Let's say I have slipped. I misused my eyes. I lost my anger. I repented. I made that intention that I am not going to do again. And I slipped again the very next day or the same day. That repentance of the previous sin is still counted. It's not that I misused my gaze. I repented so that sin was forgiven. And then I do it again so that repentance is broken. Using the word broken is incorrect. That repentance has not broken. That repentance is still standing. The sin that was done before that repentance is still erased. The difference now is that because of this new sin, you need to repent again. Repentance is never broken. A past repentance, if it is done correctly, it is sealed. The sin before it has been erased. Yes, sometimes a new repentance is needed if a new sin is done. But my teacher and Shaykh Azim Allah Salim Durat Sahib Hafidhahullah, he says that hypothetically speaking, for the sake of imagination, if there is a person who carries out a sin every day and he repents every single day, he genuinely repents with these three conditions, then every single day's sin will be wiped from his account. That means if he passes away, then that sin which he did hundreds of times in his life, it will not be in a book of records at all. But my teacher and Sheikh, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed something special in repentance. It has a special effect. What is that special effect? That if a person regularly keeps doing repentance of something, then the effect of that repentance is that sooner or later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the tawfiq to stay away from the sin for good. So it will not be that this person, he carries out the sin every single day, and he repents every single day, and it carries on, and he does it every single day for hundreds of days. Before long, the sin will be gone from his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this special effect in repentance. But for that, a person needs to be regular in repenting. He needs to repent every single time he does this sin. And Shaitan is an expert of deen. He knows the deen and religion very well. So Shaitan also knows that repentance has this effect within it. So what does Shaitan do? Shaitan tries to stop us from repenting whenever we do a sin. And he does that by making you feel that this is the third time this week that I've done this sin. I misused my gaze already twice, three times this week. I've done it again. What's the point of repenting? I repented the last two times, but I still did it. I just did this today. I repented and I've done it again. What's the point of repenting? My repentance is of no use. Shaitan only puts this thought inside a person's head because he knows that repentance is of use. And it is of great use. That is where we fall short. When someone encourages us to repent, then we do try. But after a few days, we have repented a few times, then the next time, there's no point. It doesn't get me anywhere. That thought is from Shaitan because he knows it is getting you somewhere. So, this hadith contains a very short message, but it is a very important message. Let me end by this. Those people who are, with this final point, those people who are fully obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala loves them. Allah ta'ala loves them. And obviously. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in the Quran, He mentions them using the word mutatahirin. Mutatahir means the one who stays pure from sin. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions that Allah ta'ala, He loves the mutatahirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just mention the mutatahirin. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah ta'ala loves those who repent in abundance, meaning who have this habit of repenting whenever they do a sin. And He loves the mutatahirin, those who stay pure from sin. So He mentions them both in the same sentence, meaning that they are both beloved to Him. And not only does He mention them both in the same sentence, He mentions those who repent abundantly first. So they don't get the feeling that Allah Ta'ala loves us but we are second grade. No, no. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala loves you, and you are beloved and important in His eyes, and He values you and He values your repentance just like He values the efforts of those who stay away from sin. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves our repentance so much that there is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which He says that لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُ, if humans were such that they would never commit sin, meaning they didn't have the ability to commit sin, every human was 100% on track, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, Allah ta'ala would get rid of you. وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, and He would create some makhluk, some creation which has the ability to sin, so that when they sin they would repent. Meaning Allah Ta'ala loves the action of repentance so much that He would rather have a makhluk, a creation who has the ability to sin, but when they sin they repent. So this is not something to be taken lightly. It is not something regarding which a person falls, gets deceived by shaitan. I've done it 2-3 times. My repentance is useless. My repentance is useless. Shaitan does not decide whether our repentance is useful or not. Allah Ta'ala decides. And Allah Ta'ala has told us that if you carry out repentance in the correct manner, your repentance is useful. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have taqwa, taqwa means they are fully obedient to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says regarding them that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If whoever is fully obedient to Allah Ta'ala, he makes a route out of problems for them. وَيَرَزُقْهُ مِنْ هَيْثُ مَا لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and He fulfills their needs in methods which they don't even realize. They don't even understand, how did my need get fulfilled? That's how Allah Ta'ala deals with them. And those who hold fast to tawbah and istighfar, man lazim al istighfar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja. Allah Ta'ala treats them in the same manner. From every problem, He shows them a path out. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, and with the needs, the same thing. Allah Ta'ala fulfills the needs in methods and manners that they don't even understand, how did my need get fulfilled? So Allah Ta'ala treats these two groups very closely. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say that if you can't get into the muttaqeen, those who are fully obedient, which every person can, but sometimes we feel down, we think, I'm never going to get there, I can't become fully obedient to Allah Ta'ala, whereas every person can. But Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, for these people who are feeling down, he says to them, if you can't get into the muttaqeen, those who are fully obedient, then at least get into the tawwabin, those people who repent in abundance, because they are treated very similarly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make this an objective of our lives, that yes, we will try to stay away from every sin, but if we do slip, then we will repent. However many times we have committed the sin, however minor or major the sin is, if a person does this, then inshallah, if he is not free of sin by the time he passes away, then he will definitely be he will be either from the muttaqeen, that through the barakah of tawbah he is free from sin on the day of judgment, or he will definitely be from the tawwabin, those who repent in abundance. And as a result, whichever group he is in, he will be beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to practice upon this hadith. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.